You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN Energy's daily blog, the oil and gas industry's go-to source for insight. Every day, we cover commodity fundamentals, industry changes, and developing trends across energy markets. And now, we're making it easier than ever to enjoy our blogs. Whether it's on your drive into work, while you're at the office, or at home walking the dog, settle in, turn the volume up, and enjoy.
Monday, June 29, 2020. We take care of our own, part 2. Pemex's struggles bode well for U.S. refined product exports. Published by Housley Carr. U.S. exports of motor gasoline and diesel to Mexico increased steadily from 2013 through 2018 as demand for refined products south of the border increased and throughput at Pemex's six older, investment-starved refineries declined. U.S. to Mexico shipments of gasoline and diesel sagged in 2019, though, as Pemex started to implement a major refinery rebuilding program, and fell further in the spring of 2020 as the social and economic effects of COVID kicked in and Mexican demand for motor fuels plummeted. So what's ahead for U.S. refined product exports as Mexican demand gradually rebounds later this year and in 2021? As we discussed today, it will largely depend on the Mexican government's determination to have its debt-laden energy company produce gasoline and diesel at a loss and proceed with expensive refinery projects. It was clear by the middle years of the 2010s that Mexico was becoming an even bigger buyer of U.S.-sourced motor fuels. In 2013, U.S. exports of gasoline and diesel averaged 184,000 barrels per day and 115,000 barrels per day respectively, according to the Energy Information Administration, or EIA. By 2018, those volumes had increased to 511,000 barrels per day for gasoline and 288,000 barrels per day for diesel, gains of 178% and 150%, respectively. As we discussed a couple of years ago in our blog Into the Void, this growth in U.S. refined product exports to Mexico filled a supply vacuum that had been created by falling production of refined products at Pemex's aging refineries. Then last year, in our blog Slowdown, we said that U.S. export growth momentum had waned, primarily due to logistical challenges within Mexico. Exports of U.S.-sourced gasoline to Mexico fell 8% to 472,000 barrels per day in 2019, and exports of diesel dipped by 1,000 barrels per day to 287,000 barrels per day. Also last year, Mexico's then new president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, typically referred to as AMLO, announced that he would make the rejuvenation of Pemex production and refining sectors a top priority. Among other things, AMLO set a goal of increasing the energy company's refinery utilization rate to 75% by 2023 and committed to building a new $8 billion 340,000 barrels per day refinery in Dos Bocas, Mexico's Tabasco state, again by 2023. Running at 90% of rated capacity is a routine thing among most refineries in the U.S. at least it was until COVID-related demand destruction this spring sent U.S. refinery utilization rates tumbling to less than 70%. In Mexico, though, Pemex's set of six refineries, with a combined capacity of 1.6 million barrels per day, often operate at a combined capacity of less than 40%. The combined average monthly crude oil throughputs at the six refineries since January 2018 have bounced around between 464,000 barrels per day and 767,000 barrels per day, or 29% and 47% of what the refineries were designed to hand, according to Mexico's Secretary of Energy, or SENER. Most important, there's no clear trend toward improved utilization rates. Worse yet, Pemex's refinery system is highly uneconomic to run. The company reported in April that its refining margin had dropped to an all-time low, a negative $12.51 per barrel, in the first quarter of 2020, down from a negative $2.64 per barrel in the fourth quarter of 2019 and a positive $1.61 per barrel in last year's third quarter. Pemex and its refineries face obvious challenges. Pemex entered 2020 with a staggering $105 billion in debt, more than any other energy company on the planet, and in the first quarter, it posted a $23 billion loss. As for Pemex's refineries, the company plans to have invested a total of $1.2 billion on repairs and upgrades to the six existing facilities by the end of this year, and a couple of billion more in 2021 to 2023. But as we just said, so far there isn't much evidence of a big rebound in utilization rates. Similarly, if you expect the planned Dos Bocas refinery to come online on schedule 3 years from now, most projects of that scale take far longer than the ambitious schedule that Pemex laid out. Still, Pemex has a champion in AMLO, who in recent weeks has not only reiterated his support for the refinery projects but also has stuck with his goal of permanently reversing, and eventually eliminating, what had been Mexico's growing dependence on U.S. refined products. Before we assess what all this might mean for U.S. exports of gasoline and diesel to Mexico going forward, we should take a moment to explain how Mexico's refined products sector is structured. As we said in part one of this miniseries earlier this month, efforts underway since 2013 to open up Mexico's energy sector to competition offer new opportunities for U.S. refiners, midstream companies, and motor fuel retailers, among others. For instance, until 2016, Pemex was the only entity that could import gasoline and diesel to Mexico, and until early 2017, independent/third-party importers could not use Pemex's refined products pipeline distribution and storage network. Also, by late 2017, long-standing government caps on retail prices of motor fuels were phased out across Mexico. Now, non-Pemex brands account for one-third of Mexico's more than 12,000 retail motor fuel stations, and a number of major refiners, including ExxonMobil, Chevron, Marathon Petroleum, and Valero, have acquired or opened gas stations in Mexico and exported motor fuels from their U.S. refineries to help serve those retail outlets. So, what's ahead? No one knows for sure, of course, but let's assume that Mexico's demand for gasoline and diesel rebounds gradually in the second half of this year and in 2021 as the country, like the U.S., tries to control and reduce the spread of the coronavirus and return its economy and social activity to something approaching norm. AMLO this spring again indicated his strong commitment to restoring Pemex to its former glory by rebuilding its existing refineries and constructing a new, state-of-the-art refinery in his home state. The problem is Mexico's economy already is struggling due to COVID and its state-owned energy company is overwhelmed with massive debt. Put bluntly, can Pemex really afford to invest $8 billion or more in a brand-spanking new refinery when there is a much more cost-effective alternative, namely, ramping up its imports of refined products? There's more, as we said earlier, the company's refineries continue to have low utilization rates, and their refining margins are deep in negative territory, though margins, at least, may improve as demand for gasoline and diesel recovers. All this suggests that, try as Pemex might, the company is unlikely to achieve its, and AMLO's, goals of increasing its existing refinery's crude runs to 1.2 million barrels per day, or 75% of capacity, and opening up the new Dos Bocas refinery by 2023. Instead, Pemex's best hope may be to focus on improving the most efficient and well-maintained of its refineries and turning to U.S. refineries for the balance of Mexico's motor fuel needs. That suggests that U.S. exports of gasoline and diesel will return to at least their 2019 levels and perhaps past the peaks they experienced the year before that. We Take Care of Our Own was written by Bruce Springsteen and appears as the first cut and first single release from Springsteen's 17th studio album, Wrecking Ball. It was released as a single in January 2012, and went to number 43 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart, and number 11 on the Adult Alternative Singles charts. Personnel on the record were Bruce Springsteen on lead vocals, guitar, banjo, piano, organ, drums, percussion, and loops, Ron Aniello on guitar, bass, keyboards, and loops, Susie Tyrell on violin and backing vocals, Patti Scalfa on backing vocals, Lisa Lowell on backing vocals, and the New York String Section on strings. Wrecking Ball was recorded at Stone Hill, Springsteen's home studio in New Jersey, between January 2011 and January 2012. Produced by Springsteen along with Ron Aniello, it was released in March 2012. Three singles were released from the album. Wrecking Ball went to number one on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart and has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Bruce Springsteen is an American singer, songwriter, and musician. He has sold more than 135 million records worldwide. Springsteen has made 19 studio albums, 23 live albums, 1 soundtrack album, 8 compilation albums, 7 EPs and 70 singles. He has won 20 Grammy Awards, 2 Golden Globes, 1 Academy Award and 1 Tony Award, and is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Songwriters Hall of Fame. The Boss also has been awarded a Kennedy Center Honor and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, and has been named the Music Heirs Person of the Year. Springsteen continues to record and tour to this date, with live dates on hold due to COVID-19.
This has been the RBN Energy Blogcast. Thanks for listening.